Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then we consider what you know of the news of the day. 16 Chinese military aircraft were detected on Monday entering the airspace over Malaysia's exclusive economic zone in the disputed South China Sea. Wisma Putra has said it will summon China's ambassador to relay, quote, Malaysia's serious concern, while the ministry will lodge a formal diplomatic protest. China, however, has rejected Malaysia's complaints, saying that its warplanes had been conducting routine training in accordance with international law. So tonight on the show, we'll be discussing the potential diplomatic fallout from this incident. Joining us first from Washington, D.C. is Alina Ngo. She's the Director of Political Security Affairs at the Asia Society Policy Institute, as well as the Deputy Director of its Washington, D.C. office. Alina, welcome to the show. Now, what do you understand to have happened with this airspace incident? I mean, how seriously should we take this particular incident?
Well, I think we should take it seriously because as the Malaysian Air Force media release pointed out, the flights happened very close to our borders. And there is some dispute in terms of the international legal interpretation of what constitutes our airspace. But Malaysia's position is that it is a threat to our sovereignty. At the very least, it's seen as a challenge to our resolve, despite what the Chinese have said. And I think if you look at the larger context, given how the Chinese ships have harassed some of our own vessels in the South China Sea, I think this points to a larger, more disturbing picture about what exactly China's intentions are with regard to the dispute and with regard to our diplomatic relations. Because remember, these flights took place on the occasion of the commemoration of our diplomatic ties with China, as well as the TUDM's 63rd birthday. So if it was meant to be a surprise gift, I don't think it was a very pleasant one from Malaysia's point of view.
Alina, the question of the very different tone between Wisma Putra and that taken by the Chinese ambassador to Malaysia, does that signal yet another disturbing dimension to the problem, which is that there doesn't seem to be a consensus on between Malaysia and China about the nature of the dispute, about the question of sovereignty? What do you think is happening there with the tone?
It's funny because in the past, with China's complaints against what it has called U.S. incursion into its airspace, China has done exactly the same thing with us in this incident. So it says that its flights of the 16 aircraft have been in accordance with international law. Well, Malaysia's position is slightly different. And ironically, it's the same position, as I mentioned, that China has taken in the past with the U.S. So it begs the question of whether China is maybe tweaking its international legal position or whether it's just being opportunistic in this particular incident because it's been caught out and it's displeased the Malaysian government. So there is a dissonance between the Malaysian Foreign Ministry and what the Chinese spokesperson has come out to say. But I think this is completely natural and we will have to be resolved hopefully when the Chinese ambassador to Malaysia is summoned and is asked to give an explanation over what exactly happened and what China's intentions are.
Alina, can I continue on with on that note of, you know, dissonance in tone? And I'm wondering about Wisma Putra's response, because their response for this incident saying that, you know, Malaysia has some serious concerns about this, it's quite different. It contrasts with the last time Malaysia and China relations were in the headlines, with the comments made by the foreign minister suggesting Malaysia, you know, China and Malaysia's relationship had that little brother, big brother relationship. I'm wondering whether you see this as a shift in tone. Do you see it as a shift in approach?
I think when it's come to sovereignty disputes, Malaysia has always taken a consistent stand, and that is that the Malaysian sovereignty is not up for bargaining, it's not up for negotiating. What we've seen in the past with Malaysia-China relations is Malaysia has always been able to segment our relationship into different silos or categories, if you will. So we treated the trade and economic relationship slightly separately from the South China Sea dispute so as not to sour or taint the whole relationship. But I think if China continues to press with these kinds of routine flight trainings, as they say, or routine exercises, either in our or bordering our airspace or in the South China Sea, unfortunately, it will possibly push us to try to reevaluate whether we really should be looking at the whole relationship in total, as opposed to how we've been treating it all along, which is in silos, if you will, as I mentioned.
Elena, do you think that China can be relied on to respect a rules-based international order, and that Malaysia can assume that in its relationship with China around these specific disputes, and as you say, in sort of larger terms as well?
You know, Sharad, I'm a little allergic to this term, a rules-based international order, because what we've seen, particularly from large powers, is that they call the shots and they decide what rules to follow, and they start ordering people to follow those rules. So I think if we go back to the basics and the fundamentals, which is the principles of international law, which unfortunately China has decided to jettison following the 2016 Permanent Court of Arbitration decision, I don't think we have a very positive picture of how China will continue to act with regard to the South China Sea dispute. That said, China is and will continue to be a good friend and trading partner to Malaysia. And so from Putrajaya's perspective, there is this very tough balancing act that Malaysia will have to continue grappling with as we move forward with our relations. On the one hand, we have this very unmistakable aggressiveness that's coming from China when it comes to sovereignty and territorial dispute issues. And on the other, we have very amicable ties in all other aspects of our relationship, trade, people-to-people, cultural ties, and so on. So we're in for quite an interesting ride, I would say.
Elena Noh, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Elena Noh of the Asia Society Policy Institute joining us from Washington, D.C. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but more on this topic in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned.
Is self-control, self-lockdown itu penting. Lebih kurang pergerakan, maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini, duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan PKP, kendiri dan keluarga.
Saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia ada ke depan
dan maju. Induknya adalah Melayu.
Balik kepada sepatutnya orang yang membuat polisi.
Kalau itu yang dikehendaki, fine. Mungkin kita berbeza pandangan.
Tapi kita mempunyai kuasa yang boleh menentukan budaya di masa hadapan.
Polisi yang mesra wanita, sudah tentu dia akan datang daripada pemimpin wanita.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Semak fakta melalui www.astroawani.com atau aplikasi Astro Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemik ini.
The third wave of COVID-19 has taken us by storm. There's no room to take anything lightly. Everyone must follow all the steps to stop the spread of COVID-19, social distancing, face mask, follow these steps, this SOP, with the utmost discipline. Together, we can flatten the curve.
Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Gooden. If you've just joined us, we're discussing the controversy that has erupted over allegations of a Chinese incursion into Malaysian airspace over the long-disputed Luconia Shoal off the coast of Sarawak. Now, we speak now to Bandegara, who is a senior fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, or better known as ISIS Malaysia. Bun, how seriously do you view this incident? I'm wondering whether you see this incident fitting into a pattern of behavior by China in the South China Sea.
Well, first of all, it is part of a pattern. And it's been going on for years, especially since 2016. And then there have been other incidents, you know, since then, 2017, last year, 2020, then this year again. So it seems to be unrelenting if you take it, you know, in the longer space of time over several years. It is serious, but it could have been more serious if it were over, say, Sarawak airspace. Strictly speaking, you know, Sarawak being part of the island of Borneo. But it is still over the airspace of Malaysia in the sense that it is over you know, Luconia Shoals and James Shoals, where they made the turnaround. And by denying that it is in Malaysian airspace, I think the Chinese side is just disrespecting Malaysia's claim on those territories.
Boon, you know, some analysts speak of China's creeping assertion of sovereignty over bits of territory in the South China Sea that it claims, you know, of course, making reference to the nine dash line theory of ownership that it has. Do you expect that what we will see in over the next coming, you know, years will be this creeping assertion rather than a big push, that we won't see an escalation or even conflict arising from these attempts to assert sovereignty?
Well, I hope, you know, as many people hope, that it will not be any kind of open conflict, because nobody wins in that. But I think in terms of creeping assertion, it does look like that so far. It's what is known as the salami tactics, you know, slice by slice, as it comes forward, slices of salami. But I think it's important also for countries like Malaysia to file diplomatic protests, formal protests, so that, you know, it is known Malaysia's position is clear, resolute, and consistent. Otherwise, it could only get worse. So I think we make our position known. Yes.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you, because just to, on that note, you're making our position known. You said that this is in some ways disrespecting Malaysia's claim over that airspace. And I'm wondering, do you think that Malaysia should do more beyond just, you know, releasing a statement or a diplomatic protest? Should and can Malaysia take a more aggressive stand to defend what it claims is our sovereign territory?
Well, it's a delicate situation because, you know, we are dealing with a much bigger country, obviously. And also there are many other areas of engagement with China which are not related to territory. You know, trade and investment are areas, for example, that are big bilaterally and regionally. At the same time, that doesn't mean that we have to forego or somehow compromise on our sovereignty, because that's not negotiable at all. With any other country, it's the same. So I think, you know, for Malaysia to take a firm position diplomatically, yes, certainly. But I think beyond that, it depends on our cooperation with other countries, because, you know, we're in ASEAN, in the region. Other ASEAN countries are also affected. And there are also bigger countries like the United States, which have a presence in the region. And we want to be friends with all countries. We do not want any kind of friction or conflict with any country. And of course, you know, it's in what is known as hedging. If a particular country is not very friendly to us, then we will have to, you know, develop stronger ties with other countries. It's a matter of balancing, to keep the regional balance in order to retain peace and prosperity and stability in the region. That's the ultimate goal.
Right. Bun, you know, it was true that the U.S. provided the security architecture for the region for much of the post-war years, now challenged by China. Do you think China is going to move towards kind of demanding, you know, either them, you know, it's us or them kind of options for countries as we move forward. It does. Do you see that as something that we might have to confront, that we might not be able to be friends to all?
I think instead of looking at a country-to-country relationship, such as Malaysia, China, we should look at it more in terms of issue-based, you know, on particular issues and particular times. And, you know, we may agree and be friendly on certain issues and not on others. You know, in terms of territorial disputes, for example, there may be disagreement. That doesn't mean that there should be any conflict. Things can and should be worked out diplomatically. I mean, that's part of the ASEAN format, you know, the way of doing things. And also internationally under the UN conventions, things should be resolved peacefully.
But does that work in practice? I mean, theoretically, I think it sounds great to have these different tracks, you know, one type of relationship for diplomacy, another type for trade and investment. But does that work in practice? We spoke to Alina Noh a little bit earlier, and she said, yes, there are silos in the way Malaysia approaches our relationship with China. But should we be looking at it from a more holistic perspective, that our relationship with China is one and the same in diplomacy and in trade and in security and defense?
Well, if there is any way of looking at it holistically, I'd like to see it. So far, it hasn't been apparent. And I don't know of any other country that has tried it. So if a country has tried it and done it successfully, let's see it, you know, let's learn from it. But I doubt if there's any, you know.
Right.
Boon, do you see a shift in America's position in the South China Sea? It held that, you know, I think a right to navigation position, but do you see it evolving during the Biden administration, and what could it mean for Malaysia?
Well, I think big countries like United States or China, they act out of their own interests. They are not going there, they're not doing what they do to serve the interests of smaller countries, right? Where there are areas of agreement, fine, we work with any of them. But where there are certain areas of divergences, not necessarily disagreement, but divergences, then we may have to think again. Sometimes it's not a matter of ends, but the differences over means, you know, and the way they do things may not be the way we prefer to do them. So there's a lot to do with, you know, having to sit down, discuss these issues, work through them. And I think a lot more work needs to be done nowadays.
But Negara there from ISIS Malaysia joining us on the show tonight. Another quick break, but more in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to consider this.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia ada ke depan.
Control, self-lockdown tu penting. Lebih kurang pergerakan, maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini, duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP, kendiri dan keluarga,
saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia ada ke depan.
Kita boleh maju. Induknya adalah Melayu.
Balik kepada sebuah orang yang membuat polisi.
Kalau itu yang dikehendaki, fine. Mungkin kita berbeza pandangan.
Tapi kita mempunyai kuasa yang boleh menentukan budaya di masa hadapan.
Polisi yang mesra wanita, sudah tentu dia akan datang daripada pemimpin wanita.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Semak fakta melalui www.astroawani.com atau aplikasi Astro Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemik ini.
The third wave of COVID-19 has taken us by storm. There's no room to take anything lightly. Everyone must follow all the steps to stop the spread of COVID-19, social distancing, face mask, follow these steps, this SOP, with the utmost discipline. Together, we can flatten the curve.
Bila sentuh soal berita, tiada masa untuk tunggu. Kepada anda, kami bawakan fakta, susulan dan kupasan yang terkini. Tiada drama,
dan tiada pengulangan. Usah tunggu lama-lama. Awani 7.45. Lebih awal dari biasa.
Kini berwajah baru.
Ini pula susulan khas pesawat Back Air di Kazakhstan. Pesawat berkenaan dilaporkan tergelincir dua kali.
Notifikasi berita terkini dan navigasi mudah. Podcast dikemas kini dengan berita dan program.
Rebirth, reformasi, resistance and hope.
Serta video tanpa had dengan scroll.
Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's speak now to Ivy Quick, who's the research director of the think tank REVSA. She's also the co-founder of a project, Patimi, which is a portal aimed at raising public awareness on issues about defense and security in Malaysia. Ivy, good evening. Now, what's your reading about this latest incident involving China military aircraft in Malaysian claimed airspace? And also, more interestingly, the responses by the different stakeholders. What do you make of it?
Hi, thanks for having me. I think that the timing of this incident is very baffling. As we know that we have a very good relationship with China, and with the recent trip of our foreign minister to China, despite the diplomatic faux pas, some would say, about the Big Brother comment, it was still widely regarded as a successful trip. So this has come at a very bad time and has definitely set us back in terms of our relationship with China.
But is that, Ivy, a view that China shares? I mean, the Malaysian side, clearly the stakeholders have cast as a frame this as a serious incident. But that's not been the Chinese response. They seem to have brushed this off as both something that they haven't actually done anything wrong. How do you think China looks at Malaysia, and how does that shape its behavior towards us?
I think that there's two issues here. One is the fact that even though China has said that they have done this as part of a routine training and they have adhered to the international law, they still did not explain why there's no flight plan that was submitted prior to entering the flight region. And also that when the Royal Malaysian Air Force tried to establish contact with the plane, there were no responses. So given the circumstances, I think it was justified that the Royal Malaysian Air Force actually scrambled the plane so that they can ascertain to get a visual identification of the aircraft. So I think that one of the issues here is that it might constitute a potential threat to Malaysia's national security. And the second one, as we can also read from the statement provided by the Royal Malaysian Air Force, it actually might also jeopardize flight safety in the region.
All right. Ivy, this seems to be, you know, a pattern of behavior from China, and we're seeing, you know, changing dynamics. We cannot deny that there seems to be increasingly tense relationship within this dispute. And I'm just wondering where Malaysia, what kind of negotiating room Malaysia has, given that we are, you know, a middle power. Do we have any space to assert our stand in this claim?
Definitely, it would not be an easy fit, as I think the previous speaker has said. Malaysia has always been navigating in an increasingly narrow space between the two great powers. But we have also been very steadfast in our stance to say that despite these disputes, we do not want to choose our sides between US nor China, and we want to remain friendly to all. So I think that this incident, unfortunately, would also perhaps cause Malaysia more to feel more insecure and to be to have less confidence with regards to China's intention. And I think that this is not a good thing for the region. I think that going forward, if we were to take away from this incident, one would be that we can no longer be in denial about the changing dynamics in the region and the tensions in the region. So we need to step up our effort and to make sure that the region is not entrapped in some kind of zero-sum game or dominated by any powers. And to do that, I think that it is particularly important for us to strengthen our cooperation with other media powers and also work at the ASEAN level, because I believe that many media powers in the region also want the same thing as us and are also in the same situation as us.
Ivy, isn't it true that ASEAN has not been able to come up with a united front in dealing with China?
I think that different ASEAN countries will have their own calculation, but they have always been trying to minimize the tensions with China and trying to balance between the relationships with China on the non-strategic front as well. So I think that this incidents, unfortunately, has made this slightly harder because I think that as a small country, there is always insecurity when it's dealing with a neighbor that is so big. And as our foreign minister has said, we should not compromise our national security, even though we have friendly diplomatic relations with China. And I think that I want to also point out that it's not just that China is an important partner to Malaysia, but I think the opposite is true as well. And having this kind of incidents does not serve the benefits of either party.
Okay. Ivy Quek-Fair of REFSA speaking to us tonight, joining us from Taiwan. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But a quick reminder before I leave you that you can get all the COVID-19 vaccine news and information on our website, astro20.com, as well as our app on the Astro20 app. I'm Melissa Idris for tonight.
And I'm Sharad Kitchen signing off for tonight.
We'll be back same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.